Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas. The liberal nipple on the boob that is the red Texas. It's a red boob with a blue nipple. That's a kinky titty right there. And I'm Melissa Diaz. I'm your host. Let's dive into what we're going to cover today in the news, which is essentially me bringing to you anything that I think is notable or noteworthy or worthy of your attention and your eyeballs and your ears and your heart and your taint and your feet and your fingers and your toes and your head and your shoulders and your knees and your toes. Okay. First off, we got Malcolm Gladwell reverses stance on trans athletes. Followed by rumors of President Trump's death that swirled around the internet on the weekend, which was a nothing burger, really. But, you know, worth commenting on for, you'll see. Chicago is responding to an alleged threat that Trump voiced with regards to cleaning up their city, followed by a J.D. Vance tweet that got some traction. Also, Trump's Department of Justice is reportedly weighing a ban on trans Americans owning firearms, not to mention that they renamed the Department of Defense the Department of War, which is actually, my understanding is that that was actually originally the name of that department. So many departments, so little time. China, also, finally, we're going to end with China. China begins enforcing world's strictest AI labeling laws, followed by some rapid-fire topics at the end. And that's going to be our show. So are you ready? Let's buckle in, buckos. First, I'll just say, I hope you're doing well. I hope things are going well on your side of the planet, wherever your little patch of Earth may be. I hope you have a job. I hope the Fed interest rate hikes have not affected you and that the lowering of the rates will benefit you somehow in an amazing way. I hope Bitcoin falls from the sky and hits you right in the head and then you can just retire early. I wish you all the best. Myself, how am I doing? I'm doing great, but my standards for great have been lowered considerably since having a child. I know people bitch about having a kid, and I know, because I used to be on the other side of it, I know it's like, yeah, well, why did you have the fucking kid? And it's like, hello, I had the kid so that I could bitch about having the kid, okay? It looks like a lot of fun on the other side. Grass is always greener, and watching parents bitch and moan about their kids, but then also talk about how life-changing it is in this divine, sublime way is very, was eventually, I could, my curiosity got the best of me. I could not resist. And so I spread them. I spread them so they could get that sweet, sweet parent complaining privilege, and I do it again. God damn it. If it weren't for the fact that I don't want to. One kid is enough for me. Everyone's different. Everyone is different. As many children as you want is however many you should get. And that's it. That's all I have to say about that. Have 8, have 10, have 20. Start your own basketball team. I don't care. I want the one. I was thinking about 2, but I don't know. I'll let you know in a year. But yeah. My standards for what's great have been lowered, okay? Because when I say great, I mean I got probably about 8 hours of sleep last night, maybe. I don't even think I did. And I didn't get them straight, by the way. It was chunks, like about an hour to 2 hour chunks till I got 8 hours, which means I was in bed for like 10 hours. 11, 12. The day before that, I was in bed for fucking 12 hours. I was so exhausted. We were just like zombies. And I don't even think the kid was sleeping. She was waking us up, and I don't even think she wanted to be up. I think she likes to sleep just as much as we do. So finally, the three of us, we looked at each other, 7:30 p.m. on a Saturday night. This is where my life is, okay? And hopefully not for good, but it certainly is right now. 7:30 p.m., we're looking at each other like, how about we call it quits? How about we do a little Haley's cult, but instead of drinking, you know, let's do a little Jonestown massacre reenactment, but instead of the drinking the poisonous Kool-Aid, we just drink some real Kool-Aid, and then we just, the sugar crash will just make us pass out till morning. And so we did that. We passed the hell out. We passed the fuck out. Fuck out. Whoa. 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 Out. And it was amazing. 12 hours. It was like, and it wasn't, like I said, we can't sleep any block of hours straight because this baby wakes up and just, she eats in her sleep. She just eats in her, she guzzles in her sleep. It's like, I feel like whatever it was like to raise Jabba the Hutt from Star Wars, or like feed it, just shove things into this little thing's face. It's just like that. She has multiple skin folds too, just like him, like a segmented worm at this moment, because she's all scrunched up, and I guess all that skin needs to be scrunched up so that it can stretch out into a bigger baby, into a kid eventually. So she just wants to, we need to feed her like a little milk vampire. And that happens every 2 to 3 hours. So she wakes up, she fusses, whatever. And so we basically, that's how we slept. So, but it was like, we were so exhausted that it was like, I'll take it. Yes. So we slept, woke up, slept. Gene passed the fuck out. But I am the mom. So I got to be a little more hands on. It's fine. No, that's actually not a complaint. I'm glad he's, you know, more power to him. God bless him. He slept like a fucking rock. And I tried, but I did my best. And what I got was still pretty amazing. I was just like in a world, like in a night, in a world of night and darkness. I was like in an H.P. Lovecraft novel, you know, when the guy just finally goes on the other side of the wall and there's just this vast, endless night and things are roaring in the distance. And it's just like the large things, unknown, unfathomable beings, gigantic, monolithic, just, you know, walking past him. Just can't even see, he's like an ant to them, and they're just dark beings. Something is yelling in the distance, and everything is unknowable and strange. And it's probably what it feels like when you're a lost dog. But that's H.P. Lovecraft right there. And that's what I felt, except instead of, you know, the sound of wailing in the distance, it was like just the whine of golf carts passing by and drunk Mexicans in pickup trucks playing Mexican music. You know, just past the window. And that was the night. And in between, you know, everything was dark for 12 straight hours. Do you understand? It was like I felt like I lived in a crypt, and it was so blissful. It was amazing. Again, it's like a Lovecraft novel. And I would just get up, I would prepare a milk bottle, just kind of drift, you know, drink some water, use the bathroom, read a little bit, and the baby's asleep. Everybody's asleep. This baby has made, it makes me even not want to talk to adults. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I look at Gene, I'm like, get away from me. But I also love him. But also, like, don't even look at me right now. Don't look at me. And this is because my whole body has just become a utility. My tits, arms, you know, my smiling face. Everything is just like a utility. I'm like a walking Con Edison. If Con Edison was in the business of just producing Raggedy Ann dolls for people to just hug and suckle, you know? So I'm just walking around. That was a weird one. Okay, I know that wasn't even a mixed metaphor. That was like a mixed image in my head. But I'm fucked up in the head right now. I'm not getting real sleep. But those 12 hours were so good. And then last night we did kind of a similar thing, kind of like 10 hours. I did the same thing, just drifting around. I felt like a ghost. It was so amazing. I felt like a ghost trapped in a house, but I got to sleep. So that's been pretty real. That's what's going on. But it's nice. I know that none of that sounded nice, but it's nice. We're a family, and that means something, I think. So definitely makes you appreciate everything that doesn't have to do with it. The moments of silence mostly, and looking up at the sky. And having a minute to just think about something on the toilet or something, that's your whole life just becomes full, like so rich, because you have to pack it all in. You have to pack in all your me time, like distilled beef broth, right? Like when you boil it down, it's like rich. But you can only take a shot. You can't just sit around sipping beef broth. You gotta distill it down to a shot and just take the shot. Or wheatgrass or whatever the fuck if you're vegan, I don't know. But yeah, and that's kind of the place where I'm at. Sometimes I'm still doing stand-up, still getting up. It's not a lot right now, but I'm working on shit and I got some shows coming up. Fallout Theater this Wednesday and places like that and such and so forth. But anyway, that's what's going on my end. That was that wasn't that long. That was a short rant. Okay, I hope you enjoyed it. But yeah, that's what's going on with me. I have a zit also on my nose. That's great. I have a zit on my nose that appeared just when I was going to a birthday party, which, of course, I haven't seen people in months. First people I see, huge zit on my nose. So pretty great. Good stuff. It was a lesbian's birthday party, so there were a lot of crew cuts, haircuts, and stuff like that. A lot of military cuts, a lot of starch collars, and a lot of fun party games. Very organized ones, though. We're not just drinking and talking shit here, okay? We got to have a roundtable discussion about some version of Pictionary. So that's what we do. And vegan weenies and fruit. So it was good. It was great. I'm having an all right time. But what's going on in the world? What's going on in Austin? Living in Texas has been very interesting, especially Austin, because Austin almost directly responds to Texas constantly. They're just on a constant defense mode. So the Texas Lieutenant Governor, chair of the Religious Liberty Commission, I think, which was just established, Dan Patrick's, they discussed religion and how it lifts people up during their first hearing of the Religious Liberty Commission. I know that sounds ominous, but the Religious Liberty Commission at this point in this country, look, I know some people think that this is going to be a way to force people to have religion, but how are you going to force this whole country to have this religion? I mean, you know how many people aren't even Christian? There's Muslims, there's Buddhists, which isn't really, that you don't have to only be a Buddhist. I know that Buddhist, whatever. But there's a Hindu religion. There's just so much Zoroastrian. There's a lot of shit here. And Wiccans are a thing now. And you're not going to put all that back in that box. That it was opened a long time ago in the 60s or so, or 50s even. And so it's why unless it would take like a real fatal national, maybe even international catastrophe for people to really run back to religion, for them to be able to take the opportunity. So this was more like this is more like religion just trying to keep their flame lit, which I respect it only because, they value this path of life and the pathway, and they think it's valuable and good for people, and so they want to save it for people, which I think is cute. I think it's like, aw. But then on top of that, there's legitimately some good shit up in that Bible. You ever read that shit? You ever read that goddamn Bible? It's actually pretty good. But the problem with the Bible is that it takes a long time for you to even understand what the hell you're looking at, because it's stupid. It's first it looks stupid, then you feel better than it, then you realize that you're an idiot, then you realize that you're not. That, it's like you have to go through the actual human personality, character, integrity development to finally start to appreciate the Bible as a text and be like, yo, okay, fine, I'll check this out. But then you got to get through actually when you decide to do that. And it's like, you open it up. It's like, okay, let's see what's in here. Okay, I'm gonna humble myself. I'm going to realize that this text, it's not going to brainwash me, right? It's not a trap. I give nothing away by opening these pages and looking through them. I can actually gain some wisdom as, you know, within context. This is, you know, this is like the epic journey through time and space and consciousness and awareness of, you know, the divine, the concept of it and the experience of it, ecstasy of, you know, the euphoric feeling of religious ecstasy. This is important, right? This is something I should look at because this shaped so much of this world. I mean, why wouldn't I look at this? Let me look at this. Let me look at this shit. And then you open it and you're like, I'm ready. And then the first thing you see is like, Abel begat John, and John begat Smith, and Smith begat Jennifer and Jill, and then Jennifer and Jill begat Jason, but that was Jennifer, but then Jill begat Stephen and Michael and Abraham, you know, and then you gotta, and you're like, what the fuck is this? And then you gotta kind of go for cliff notes and look it up and be like, oh, okay, I get it. All right, fine. And then move on and then look at stuff and then go, oh, and then think about it. It's a very involved process, especially if you're not a Christian at all, like me, if you're not into any of that stuff really in that way where like you really, you're reading it as like canon, like this actually, this happened exactly as this book is saying, that this book, you know, that was translated multiple times and there are many mistakes, right, in it that phrase things in ways that not only were just genuine mistakes, were just like in legitimately like undermined by, you know, King James and people like that who found it in their best interest to alter the Bible to suit their interests, right? And it's like, okay, you got to get through the fucking Bible because this is important. And it's not just the Bible, but it's like the history of the Bible. And it's like, you know, this is important. So I'm glad, I put it this way. I would feel this way about any commission that is holding on to and examining and bringing back into the discussion any really good book, period. And the Bible actually, once you understand why it is a really good book, it is a really good book. We need that book. We need a lot of good books. We need Proust. We need Freud, you know, whatever, just for the historical context. But we need these people, okay? At least for the historical context. So if for that reason, I'm like, cool. But then at the same time, people in Austin, they're very threatened by things like this. They're terrified. They think it's going to be like a new fascist movie. I don't know. I have no fucking, I don't, you know what, because I never lived through the beginning of a fucking fascist, whatever the fuck. And you know what? Neither did you, and neither did a lot of people. And you can read as many books as you want, but they have also been reinterpreted, much like the Bible, to sound a certain way, to further some fucking group's personal interest. Anyway, okay, that was a long. So yeah, but in response to that, it's like, what do they do in Austin? Well, you know, they start a new Scream Club. That's what we're doing. Scream Club. And basically people just go, I guess there's one in Chicago, but there's a Scream Club now. Then you just go and you stand by some water and then you go scream and you scream into the ether around a bunch of people. And that's what you do. Instead, like, people used to just go to the movie theater and it's the same fucking idea. You go and you stare in one direction. You don't even have to look at each other and you enjoy something, but we don't want to enjoy anything together, right? We want to vent. We can't come together as a group anymore unless it's about us somehow. Like, you got to make it about you. But people are still lonely and they want friends, but they also want it to be about them. So then all these fucking narcissists come together. Well, I don't know if they're narcissists, but all these fucking people come together for the narcissistic pursuit of standing together, not looking at each other, but supporting each other, screaming at the sky like a bunch of monkeys. And this is what monkeys do. This is what howler monkeys do. They scream at nothing. They scream at a threat. They scream at no threat. They scream at their balls. You know what I mean? They sit around, they scream at their balls all day. And we're very close to that right now, dangerously close. And that's the thing, the internet, everything it's facilitating is just us being more like apes than ever before. Just, you know, just looking at ass and titties and violence and having a great time. And I mean, look, some of that's, all of it is good TV, but when it ramps up to this level where it's like AI and fueled and the algorithms informing, and they got avatars of you and they know exactly what makes your buttons go, you know, what presses your buttons and how to make you go, then it just, it becomes like, because the thing that makes everybody's, the one thing that presses everybody's buttons is really low resolution shit. It's like monkey shit, right? It's like whatever touches you in one of your holes, your ear holes, your nose holes, your mouth holes, your assholes. Okay. And your if you have a woman pussy hole, whatever, there you go, that too. So it's just and then they'll, you know, then every once in a while, like, in my algorithm, they'll pop up with like the effect of too much screen usage. And what do they show? They'll show a picture of like the worst. This is like, this is what will this will happen to you if you're an influencer on your phone all the time, putting on makeup, buying all the products and putting them on your face and Botox and just sitting like that with your fucking blah, blah, blah. And it's like, what do you see? You see a person who looks like a monkey. That's what you see. That's what they always draw. It's like, you know, do you want to look like this person? Then stop being an influencer, because this will happen to you. This is what happens with phone use. Speaking of excessive phone use, I saw something about Malcolm Gladwell, who reversed his stance on trans athletes. And this is just bringing this up because this is the thing about the internet, right? The internet used to, for just a hot second, was just so much coolness. It was so elevating. We were really sharing things. We were staring through our screens at each other. And now we just stare at our screens and we don't want to look at anybody. But now it's all, especially after COVID, I think, because COVID was kind of the testing ground for what the internet could do. And it turns out the internet ain't gonna do shit for you other than make tech people and the like money. So it's not going to change policy. It's not going to make people better. It's not going to make people nicer. It's not going to change people's minds, right? It's not going to raise awareness. Like, it will literally do fucking nothing. Now it's, and so now we know that. And so now we're stuck with this tech that has revolutionized how we live our lives. And now we're looking at it and we're realizing this thing doesn't do shit for me other than make my boss triangulate my location in real time whenever they want, and then they can track what I'm doing. This is like all it's done. It's been a boon to corporations, but for everybody else, it's becoming hell. So, and it's like, and it's it, you have to use it. You have to use your phone because of Slack channels and things like that. You know, your jobs, they want you to use your phones and be on your phones for them. So then you have all this other social media. You got to be on that too, because you can't just be on your job social media, because that would drive you insane. You'll shoot up a fucking school, right? And so you need to let off some steam. And so you go to Instagram, because that's the only other way to do it, to still be on your phone and blow off some steam. And then you're in a trap now, you know, back and forth. And it's not even like just regular corporations like working in an office where they're tracking you and they want you on your phone. I mean, you could be a dog walker. They track you in real time just to make sure you're doing your job. I know that. I used to walk dogs. So
there.
But Malcolm Gladwell is an example of this, right? He wrote the 10,000 hours thing. And that was this time during the internet where it was so optimistic. And everyone was like, 10,000 hours, that's all I need to do to be to be the best. And we fell for that. Like, we did it. People have, and it's been about, I don't know, 15, 20 years, right? Since he wrote that 10,000 hours in the New Yorker, Malcolm Gladwell. And it's so, that's about enough time for everyone to put in 10,000 hours towards something, or to try to, and realize that they don't have the integrity or the character to do it, and then try to figure out what else to do with their lives, because they don't want to develop that. They wanted to do something else, really. They didn't realize that they didn't want to actually be a kung fu master. They wanted to just sit on a beach somewhere, and that's okay. But the internet made us think that we should want these things, and that all we needed was 10,000 hours. It was just instant gratification dreaming. And then we pursued the dreams. And now it's been about 10,000 hours, more or less, for everybody. Maybe more for some of the real productivity freaks out there. And now we've realized that that's not the full story, right? There's a lot of other stuff that goes into being famous, because that was the ultimate goal. Nobody really wanted to say that part out loud. Nobody wanted to be an expert at something like guitar or, you know, an amazing actor to be good, not for its own sake, not for the love of a discipline, not to actually be good, you silly, stupid goose. No, it was to be famous. And at some point during the 10,000 hours chasing, we ran and ran and ran chasing those 10,000 hours, and then we ran right by something and we stopped and went, hold on, wait a minute, what is that? Is that a career in porn? Wait a minute, can I just do OnlyFans and make that kind of money and have that kind of fame, and I don't have to put in 10,000 hours for acting? Okay, I'll just do that, right? And so then people just started piling on to porn, because then they realized that that was where you get famous and stuff. And the thing is that now that's oversaturated and there's too many whores. So now it's harder than ever to stand out. You gotta get to be like Lily Phillips. You gotta bang 100 guys in 5 minutes. You know what I mean? You gotta like kill your holes. Kill them just for someone to raise one eyebrow while they're scrolling and go, huh, Lily Phillips, I'll remember that name. And that's it. And that she did all that for that. That's all she did it for. And also for a guy to just be like, Lily Phillips, let me go joke her off to that. I'll do that for $1. And that's it. And that's how she makes but she makes millions. And so that's kind of where, you know, the wheat got separated from the chaff. And the shaft, if you know what I'm saying. But I'm just kidding. But yeah, and most people just want to be rich and famous. And so they'll gladly just be whores and do, you know, anal double penetration and all that shit. And then the few people that actually stuck it out and realized that they love what they're learning to do, they love this discipline of music or whatever, nobody hears from them, because nobody actually cares about talent. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about true raw talent and discipline. Nobody cares about that shit anymore, because it's too fast. Things are too fast. So we care about trolls now, because they have the highest and the fastest turnover rate, you know, in content creation. Trolls and whores. And that's what we got. This is just the way it's built. No shade. No judgment, right? But the structure we live in right now is good only for that, and not for the things that were promised to us. And that's where we're stuck right now, because nothing means shit, and you ain't shit, and I ain't shit. And so Malcolm Gladwell now, what, 20 years later, he spent all his life becoming a writer, a good writer. I saw him at the upstate New York one time, actually, in a diner. This fucking delicious breakfast. Oh man, this diner is called a Taconic Diner, and if you're driving up the Taconic Parkway, you'll pass it. It closes at 2, so it's an early riser kind of venue. They make the best hash browns, eggs, and oh my god, if you're ever at a Taconic Diner, trust me. So yeah, I went in, Malcolm Gladwell was walking in, and I was like, oh shit, it's Malcolm Gladwell. And you know, he's paler and shorter than I thought. Anyway, and so yeah, you know, this guy, a writer, you know, a writer, activist, conscientious observer of injustice or whatever. Talks about a lot of stuff, right? 10,000 hours trying to uplift people and create like a compelling hook for people, right? And it worked. But now his shtick doesn't work. Everything he trained to do doesn't work in this new media economy. So now what does he do? He reverses his stance on trans athletes. And that's all these celebrities can do now to hook people's attention, unless they become just unless Malcolm Gladwell starts doing anal on OnlyFans, he's done, right? So he has to do something. He has to figure it out. And so what does he do? He apologizes, because that's all you can do now. You as a celebrity, you fuck up and then you apologize. And then if you made the mistake of never fucking up, maybe because you're actually not a drama queen, then you got to fuck up on purpose and then go apologize. And that's honestly the Snoop Dogg apologized for something he said about some gay couple being portrayed in a animated movie. I think it was a Disney movie or Pixar or something. And then he apologized. And I swear to Christ crackers that he did that on, he messed up on purpose. Like, he said the thing about gay kids or gay couples and how he doesn't know if he wants his kid watching that, right? He said it on purpose. He said it with the intent to cause waves and then apologize to seem like the bigger person. I think that's the game now because, excuse me, they're going down to the just, everyone's just racing to the rock bottom of entertainment right now, of content creation. And we've covered so many scandals that we're tired of the scandals. George Santos he's a liar. He lied to get into Congress about everything, about his mom dying in 9/11. And people barely batted an eye, you know, because all that kind of stuff, like Jussie Smollett, finally broke people's brains. He wasn't the end all be all of that, but he was definitely the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of that kind of troll drama where it's like someone is just completely lying right in the face of a venerable institution like court or Congress, right? And so nobody gives up. Nobody's surprised. Nobody cares. Secretly, people are kind of like, yeah, fuck Congress. Rightfully so. So we've already done all these scandals, all this drama. Vice, Channel 5, Andrew Callahan, right? They've already covered just the trashiest of the trash that exists in this country, and then some more trash. They have literally turned over every rock, have looked under every bridge, and I mean that literally, because Andrew Callahan interviewed people under a bridge in Vegas, okay, to find just the worst of the worst, the most tragic of the tragedies of people. And we don't have anything else now. And it's either AI slop, which is blatant lies and tabloid news about aliens, or you pretend now. Now you just pretend that you're a bad person. Like Dora the Explorer, like pretends to almost make a mistake so that everyone goes, no. And she goes, no, niños. Okay, fine. And everyone's like, oh, that's great, Dora. You're great. And so that's what they did with Snoop Dogg. So then later he just apologizes. He doesn't care. Dude, he's fucking rich. He loses nothing by either fucking up or unfucking up with his apology. And it just puts attention back on him. And if anything, I feel like that's kind of what PR is now. PR, you're a PR company. If you're a billionaire, you're a millionaire, whatever, and you're hiring a PR company, I guarantee you that most of it is about, okay, Snoop, we need you to say something like semi-misogynistic. It's good for homophobic. It's good for your particular profile because people see you as very cool, but old and with a checkered past. So they'll be quick to forgive you for a mildly homophobic comment. And then you can get attention and eyes on your pages across platforms so that we can do a cross-platform promotional campaign for your next product, which is, I don't know what the fuck he's going to do next. You know, edible dildos, that CBD, edible CBD dildos by Snoop Dogg. It's like his dick modeled. I don't fucking know. You know what I mean? And that's it. And so Malcolm Gladwell, and I saw this with Beyonce. They do it in a different way because now Beyonce is like, okay, you're black. You're a victim. Okay. You're a victim of racism. So what we're going to do is that we're going to spend a whole year in the New York Times. And I'm telling you, because I saw this happen, we're going to spend a whole year in the New York Times. We're going to start talking about how there's no black people in country music and how that's racist, right? And then what happens after that time? Bam, ba, da, bam. Beyonce becomes the next face for country music in America. She wins awards and goes on to rake in more millions and many, many more millions of dollars. And all of her corporate sponsors and investors can take that money to the bank. She gets her cut. They get their cut. Everyone's happy. So, some pyramid schemes never get busted. So now Malcolm Gladwell, he said, so before Malcolm Gladwell, back in 2022, supported the inclusion of trans women in women's sports. And now he's saying that that was crazy. Everyone knew it was crazy. And the only reason Everyone pretended it was not crazy as we were terrified of the left-wing media blob. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. You were the next, you know what I mean? That's like, you're not in traffic, you are traffic kind of deal. You know what I'm saying? So this is an episode of his podcast, I guess, The Real Science of Sport. Oh no, not his podcast, but somebody else. I actually don't know whose podcast that is. He said he felt cowed into supporting the inclusion of trans women in sports. Blah, blah, blah. But at the time, I think that was bullshit because he said that it was racist to do that. And that's a little bit different. But, you know, we're going to revise history. Everyone's going to look the other way because we want to get along and buy shit again. So we don't want to fight. And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to go. And that's the whole thing, right? We're gonna nod along to Malcolm Gladwell acting like he wasn't part of the fucking problem back then, and that they overstepped a little, you know, in their rhetoric, and that's kind of it, and some policy, and that they were flirting with demagoguery, and flirting with the idea of using people to attack other people online and sometimes in person. And not speaking out about it. And then now they're going to say that they were all cowed. Everyone's sorry. We're all sorry. 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 Okay? Let me tell you something. Sari. A sari? A sari is a form of dress used in Indonesia. Okay? You can take your sari, shove it up your... But anyway, yeah, that's what's going on there. It's just... This is what we're doing with celebrities now, is that and it's such a one-trick pony, and it's so lame, and it's like, we know what you're doing, and nobody wants it. Nobody cares. Please go away. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Did you ever hear that? Ever? That's why Sade was able to stay famous for her entire career. Still famous. People still waiting for her to release an album. She'll never release an album. She'll die first. She's 100, I think. But she only released albums every once in a blue. She would disappear. People would miss her. They'd get nostalgic. Now we don't even allow... We're so busy like cannibalizing nostalgia that we don't even allow for there to be new nostalgia. And we're just stuck here. Speaking of nostalgia, rumors of President Trump's death swirled on social media over the weekend. This is another nothing burger thing, right? Where this is just something that the you know, whoever wants to self-identify as a quote unquote Democrat or anybody who's in that sphere and is gaining some kind of influence or money or something or a job from it, they're going to speak to that. And that's all it was. It was just like a little mean girl moment, internet mean girl moment, which is kind of all those people tend to do. And I'm not saying those are, because I wouldn't even classify those as all Democrats or this or that. It's just this weird little circle of people in this country that, I don't know, they talk about Trump in this way where you feel like you're listening to some really bitchy high school cheerleader try to make you hate some girl that, you know, lives under the bleachers and eats glue. And it's like, come on, dude. What are you doing? Aren't you trying to get a viable presidential candidate or something like that? Like, what the fuck? Because it's not what they're doing. They're doing what Malcolm Gladwell's doing and what Snoop Dogg's doing. Everybody's just trying to retain your attention. And this AI tsunami of slop is going to come and wipe it all away. And then we're going to be trapped with that. It's going to suck. But there are some things that are happening that are real, like Trump's order. He rebranded the Defense Department as a Department of War, which, you know, the same group of mean girls tried to be, you know, tried to pearl clutch over. But really, it's like, I think that was the name originally. So it was named that, you know, like what they're going to spin it as in Trump's corner is like, it was the Department of War. PC culture made them change it, so now we're changing it back. But then what they're going to spin it on the left is like, this is fascism. And it's kind of like, it's neither. It's both. Who cares? Let's get high. I don't know. So, you know, whatever. And then it gives Congress and the defense secretary people and, to, you know, this license to get online and then bitch about it. and get more attention. It's just, it's the attention economy turning into the distraction economy. It's a person, it's like we went from, if we were to turn all these people into children as a metaphor, we went from Shirley Temple, cute as a button, done up, hair done, beautiful little dress, beautiful smile, big personality, very talented, actress, singer, dancer, just a person, triple threat. She's like 3 years old. She's a triple threat. She can't even talk yet. And she's dancing with Bojangles, you know what I mean? On some steps. And we went from that girl, and that was Hollywood back in the day. We went from that to Honey Boo Boo. That's what we did. And now we've even gone worse than Honey Boo Boo. Now it's just some little kid. You know when little kids have absolutely nothing to show you, but they want your attention? So they just run up on you when you're in the kitchen or something. They interrupt you. They yell. And then when you look over, you're like, what's going on? They just like, they go, boo, nothing. And then they run away. And I was just kidding. You know, they'll just be like, poo-poo. That's what we're at now. That's what the internet is. And it's good. It's a good time to get off the internet, right? But the thing is that real news is happening and nobody's covering it. You just see little blips of it. It's just really just drama. Like this other one where Chicago, you know, this whole thing that Trump was saying he was going to send the National Guard to Chicago. Chicago, you know, was like, hey, chill. And then said a bunch of other stuff, and then Trump was on social media, said that Chicago was about to find out why it's called the Department of War. And then after people push back against that, then he tells reporters that he just wanted to clean up the city, quote unquote. But the thing is, that's like shit talking, and that's all, you know what I mean? And then you got those cartel members who got fucking murdered, basically, off the coast of the Caribbean, or Venezuela specifically, by the U.S. Navy last week, and people were like, hey, this is a little dicey. This is kind of a gray area, right? This is extrajudicial killing. Nobody got a fair trial here. But then at the same time, it's like they know that those people are cartel members because they know everything about everybody now, and probably not even through the FBI or the CIA, probably just through those cartel members' Instagram accounts or fucking Meta accounts. And WhatsApp messages and shit. They know everything about everybody. So it's like we're in this weird little dance where it's like they know everything. But it's like, yeah, but you got to take them to trial. But it's like, well, but we know everything. it's like, okay, yeah, but there's laws. It's like, yeah, but nah, we can't. We're not into that. And you got to just be like, okay, fine. Moving on. Because then Snoop Dogg's apologizing, right? So you got to go look at that. And that's really important. And then there's other shit going, all right? After that shooting in a church in Minneapolis recently that was perpetrated by a transgender individual, now the Department of Justice is weighing on a ban on trans Americans owning firearms. And I've already talked about this last week. And it's like, don't ban them from owning firearms. But they should be on a list, right? They should be on a watch list. Right. I mean, if you could watch everything about cartel members and know them intimately, you can't look at all of the trans people recently transitioned or whatever that are on watch lists and then just look at their profiles and everything you know about them. You know everything about them. You know how they shit, whether they do it sideways or whether they straddle the toilet and look backwards. Like, we know everything about everybody now because of this fucking level of surveillance we're at. You know, they could take a computer router and make a pulse come out of it, and then they just know where the fuck you are or something like that, right? And they're like, look at this guy, he's scratching his ass at 5:45 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah, done. Oh, that wasn't a fart, that was something else. I guess that's the end of my podcast. Oh, okay. So yeah, I'm saying, yeah, keep them on a fucking watch list. But this is what we're doing in this country, right? And it's like all we're doing is lounging around, just soaking up slop, bullshit, and all kinds of other dumb shit, and basically just devolving into monkeys over our phones and just doing porn and sticking shit up our holes and in our mouths, and then and just injecting ourselves with Ozempic. And the whole time, what's going on in China? China is enforcing the world's strictest AI labeling laws. They're the strictest. And it's because they're probably the only ones that know how dangerous this shit is, but also they're illiberal enough to have the power to just take it away from people and teach them how to use it in schools, which is another thing that they're doing, another thing in the news. So, I don't know, man. We're in a real pickle here because we like freedom, but we don't have it. And China doesn't give a fuck about freedom, but the laws they're enforcing are ensuring that people at least have mental freedom. I don't know. What are we going to do? Anyway, that's all the time I have. I got to go. Here's some rapid fire shit, okay? The trial's going to start for that man charged with attempting to assassinate Trump. That's going to be a big pile of boring nothing. That guy's boring. AI company Anthropic agreed to pay authors and publishers $1.5 billion after a judge ruled it had illegally downloaded millions of copyrighted books, which is great. Moderate drinking is actually healthier than not drinking, according to an alcohol industry-approved report that's set to influence new federal dietary guidelines, if you needed another reason to not trust federal dietary guidelines. And there you go. And then something from Vice, 10 bizarre sex superstitions from around the world. I'm not going to read those. I just wanted to read that title to you so that you know that it's not just people that are de-evolving. It's also media companies. We're just all going away and AI is coming. Anyway, that's all the time I have. Thank you for tuning in to the Melissa Diaz Report. I've been Melissa Diaz. Now I'm out. I'll talk to you on Thursday. Stay tuned. In the meantime, I hope you enjoy your week. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're doing amazing. And I'll see you again soon. All right.